The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
On this episode of Revelator, I welcome musical guest Blue Stolle, the Oscars, top movies, headlines of dumb crimes, and story time with Ryan. All this and more here on Revelator.
And enjoy the show.
Welcome to Revelator. I'm your host, Ryan. Thanks for hanging out with me. As always, the 49th show. Next week is our 50th show of Revelator. I'm really super freaking stoked, not only about this particular show tonight, but also next week as well. A lot of great guests coming on. Mike DeWolf from Taproot, lead singer from Mind Evolution, Rob, former guest of the Unsigned Show, singer-songwriter David Martinez will be stopping by, and one of our personal favorites, singer-songwriter from Canada, Alex Ryder. I don't know if she's going to be wearing the tight leather pants. We can only hope so, but love Alex. She's been great to the show. Actually, all the guests on next week's show have been great to us, and that's why a lot of them, you know, we only had so many spots, and these four individuals are coming on next week. We really, really appreciate it, and thanks for supporting us along the way, and also listeners out there, thanks a lot for sticking with us, and you know who you are. You're out there, and you interact with me on Twitter and talk with me, you know, whether you're tweeting or listening to the show, we support it, you know, and we appreciate it. But let's get into it. We got a lot to cover in a short amount of time. And Blue Stolle, if you're not familiar with Blue Stolle, once you hear the tunes and hear this guy in the interview, you're really going to dig him, man. Really, really cool cat. But tell you what, let's jump right into it. You know, we always do dumb crimes and stuff, and you know, sometimes just there's dumb, and then there's just really dumb, right? So New Jersey, man. You know, first off, no stories from Florida. It's the first time we haven't had a crazy story from Florida. Producer Mike pointed that out. Mike, thank you. It was really weird not having a story from Florida. But with that being said, there are stupid people everywhere. They don't have to just come from Florida. This guy, 42 years old, Carlos, steals a entertainment center out of a house. Successfully, I might add. This happened early February. Now, a surveillance camera captured the suspect pulling the home theater system from the home into an SUV around 9 a.m. Police say he broke into the home, walked, was in there maybe for about 10 minutes, walked out with some other valuables and a sound system. Now, here's the thing. About 30 minutes later, the guy comes back because he forgot the remote. And according to the report, he also stopped to feed the dogs at the home. So obviously not very good watchdogs. So maybe he knew the dogs or something. He obviously been casing the house or something. But really, man, you steal the sound system? Like, dude, just get the serial number off the back and order it online. You know? Come on. He's like, man, I can't program this thing without the remote. I got to go back. Apparently, he has been, you know, robbing and selling this equipment. I guess maybe it's not worth as much, you know, with without the remote to fuel his heroin addiction. So Carlos, next time when he gets out of jail and he wants to go rob again for heroin, he'll remember to remember the remote. Remember the remote. Unbelievable. Jeez. It takes all kinds. Now, this story is funny, but also very disturbing at the same time. So just settle in on this one, okay? A Texas brother and sister. I said settle in. Okay, I said settle in, all right? A Texas brother and sister were arrested on meth charges and also accused of prohibited sexual contact. Please settle in with me here. The police say that the two began kissing behind bars. Again, this is in Texas, okay? Charlene Elliott was detained at a Walmart, where else, for shoplifting. Her brother, 26-year-old Cameron Beck, also was at the store. Now you're like, whew, okay, they're brother and sister, but they have different last names. That's a little relieving, right? Again, settle in here with me. Deputies searched Beck's vehicle and found a crystal substance that tested positive for methamphetamine. Elliot admitted that she and Beck had been smoking it a couple weeks ago, right before we went to Walmart, rolling back prices. After the two were taken into custody, deputies at the sheriff's office noticed that the siblings who were in adjacent cells were kissing one another on the lips between the bars. When questioned, Elliot allegedly said that Beck, who is actually a half-sibling, they share the same biological mother, Have been involved in a sexual relationship since last November. Hey, you know what? When the holidays come around, holidays are tough, you know? I mean, I guess Beck was like, you know what? I'm not just, he got out of prison, you know, and he's lonely. It's holiday season, turducken, you know? So I love my sister, you know? I mean, you know, but I mean, this guy really loves his sister, you know? And the two were charged with possession of a controlled substance and prohibited sexual contact with one another. And they ended up getting a citation for shoplifting under $50. So they were thrift shopping at Walmart. So kudos to them, you know? Oh, boy. Unbelievable. Anyway, let's take a look at some headlines here. And I've got a really interesting story time with Ryan that I think you'll really enjoy. And we'll get to that in just a moment. We'll look at headlines. This is where I look at headlines and exaggerate what the headline might mean. Now, the first one here is a really good one. How could you not pick this headline out? One man's sex toy may be another man's trashed or recycled sex toy. Really? I mean, I'm all for going green here, okay? I really am. But come on, guys. I mean, you know, can you imagine the raggedy, ripped up blow-up dolls and flashlights and, I don't know, you know, like, you know, somewhere there's a guy who's like, you know what, I really kind of want to use that recycled cock ring, but it looks stretched out. Moving on. The shocking truth about hangovers. Yeah, you know what the shocking truth is about hangovers are? Is that they suck. They're awful. Worst hangover I ever had. I'm not even 21 yet. And I was working at this little diner called the Country Corner Cafe, the CCC. And I was a breakfast cook there. You know, it's like a Saturday or Sunday morning or something. And I'd been up drinking really heavily the night before. And I'm really sick. I mean, I'm like dry heave vomit sick, right? So I'm driving into work and I'm like, man, I gotta go. Not only am I dry heaving vomit sick, I'm going to cook eggs. Okay. I'm going to cook eggs for people at 7 a.m. Okay. So I'm just a glutton for punishment all the way around here, right? Now, little do I know that I'm running late to work because there is a parade that is kind of finished up and is dissipated at this particular weekend. And I had no idea this was happening, or I would have taken a different route. So I'm on one of the main drags there in the town that I grew up in, and I'm fighting the vomit. At first, I kind of let it come up and I swallow it down, you know, because I'm an idiot. And so I'm like, fine, I can't hold it in. It's got to come out. It's got to. And mind you, there was just a parade that came through. There's still quite a lot of people there, you know, with their kids, and you know, it's and. Now, again, I'm running late to my breakfast shift, like really late. Like I'm supposed to be there at 7. I'm really late, you know? And so I have to stop and open my car door. And I'm just, bleh, bleh, just, I mean, just dry heaving, just, you know, my ribs hurt, you know, dry heaving in front of all these people. I'm driving a vehicle, hanging out the car door, dry heaving, just, bleh. You know, just projectile splash, you know, on the pavement. So I finally make it to work and I get the whole lecture. You're hours late. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, look, you're lucky I came in at all. You know, like I feel like hell, you know? So, at this time, you know, the breakfast rush is really going and I'm the egg guy, you know? So I, you know, it's, you know, 10 sunny side up eggs and hash browns and, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, the raw egg is there and I'm salt and pepper them. And I'm like, man, I can't do this. I gotta throw up again, right? Well, I can't throw up in the kitchen and the sinks or anything, obviously, right? So I have to run. And we didn't have an employee bathroom at the time. So I have to run out through the dining room into the bathroom. Okay. So, mind you, if anyone knows me, I'm a loud puker. I'm a loud dry heaver. All right, so all these people are eating their breakfast and stuff, you know, and I'm in the bathroom, and it's just a little place. It's not a very big little, it's a little cafe, right? And I'm in the bathroom. I mean, I'm letting it out. I'm just it's splashing in the toilet. It is loud. So you mind, you know, you got to hear, the cook comes out, runs into the bathroom, and dry heaves for 10 minutes. You're there eating your sunny side up eggs, you know, and you hear the cook in the bathroom yakking it up for 10 minutes. And I come out and I'm like, woo. I'm like, yeah, I feel a little better. I feel a little refreshed, you know. And the look on people's faces is priceless. So, yeah, the shocking truth about hangovers. There you go. Don't drink too much when you have to be at work in the morning. That's all I can really say to that. Unless, you know, you're okay with it and you're a professional, and you can handle it. But if you got, you know, if you're someone under the age of 21, keep that story in mind. You don't want to be in that scenario. Okay. I did it, so you don't have to. All right. My goodness. I tell you, well, let's take a break from that. A guy that I really, really dig, Blue Stolly, is coming on in just a moment. And, I encourage everyone, we're going to talk about this video as well. This is, one of the first songs I ever heard from him. Absolutely phenomenal stuff. And we're going to hear some, new takes from his new album, The Devil, as well. This is Ultra Numb, Blue Stolly, here on Revelator.
Better than this one.
Blue Stolly here on Revelator, and I'm actually joined now by the man himself, Blue Stolly. Hey, again, thanks for taking the time out and being on the Revelator show, man. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Honored to be here. I'm looking forward to hopefully not making an ass out of myself during this interview, but we'll see how it goes.
Well, I don't think we have to worry about that at all, but I want to talk off the song we just heard, Ultra Numb. One, I dig the track. I really, really do. And two, the video is outstanding. It is outstanding from start to finish, man. From standing in the kiddie pool to you know, basically bossing the makeup people around and be like, water, pick, be gone, to you know, the women, you know, sharing the bloody heart in the suburbs where you pick the time, and then, you know, break away to your, you know, stand there holding the trumpet as if you're in a mariachi band, and the whole paint concept and the dancers, the whole thing. It's really, really great concept. What was the, I guess my question is, what is the inspiration for that concept, and how did you come up with the overall idea and all these different layers on the video?
Well, when it came time to start coming up with ideas for a music video, one of the big challenges was, okay, this has to be, this is low budget, or next to no budget, but let's try to pull something off either way. So it's, you know, obviously you can't do the huge mind-blowing epic that lives in your head, because that would require, you know, the use of industrial light and magic and all that. So it's like, okay, what can I get away with, basically, with what I already know how to do? And I met with the director, Grant Morbin, who, funnily enough, also mixed four songs on the debut record. And we met up, had like lunch meetings two or three times, and each brought ideas to the table and slammed those ideas together, all of that commingled, and all that crosstalk developed into the video that you see now. So you're probably seeing a good 50% of his ideas and a good 50% of my ideas, but there was a conscious decision, since the music can be very dark, and the lyrical themes can be taken as very dark, and certainly there's certainly bands within that within that style, within that realm of you know, heavier rock or electronic rock, that tend to gravitate more towards darker aesthetics, and I certainly do the same thing as well. But I'm not the like, you know, oh, I'm the depressed, tortured artist, and I could go off at any moment. That's not me. I'm goofy. I mean, I have those times, certainly, like everyone else does. But I like comedy, and I like goofy stuff, and I like big fun movies as much as I like depthful artistic experimental avant-garde things. So, like, how do we mix all of those things together and get everything from like big dance and production number to a horror movie theme, to comedy, to, you know, big crowd pleasing action kind of stuff, and just mix it all together, just like the music itself is, you know, me taking many different genres and smacking them together. So one of the conscious decisions was, you know, typically, if someone were to approach a song like this with an artist like this, the low-hanging fruit would be to just go completely dark. Like, oh, this is me in a warehouse, and can barely see anything, and it looks completely like a looks like Nightmare on Elm Street or whatever. So let's do this all in broad daylight and a lot of bright colors to really contrast the contrast what people would expect with this. And certainly they weren't expecting it to open with a comedic sequence or to stop everything completely in the middle of the most exciting part of the song. Just as you're about to get completely hyped up and pumped up, stop everything and do another comedic sequence, and then bust right back into, you know, heavy action and blood everywhere and all of that fun stuff. There's a few things in there that are certainly there to be more metaphorical, like the you know, the having the two girls who are kind of like Stepford wives, pulling out the, you know, having a nice picnic and then pulling out the heart and, getting a little erotic with the heart and the blood.
That was one of my favorite parts of that video, by the way.
Right. Thank you. I mean, certainly that has, you know, certainly that could be something that's looked at as just like, oh, they just wanted to do something messed up. But what I like about it was that that was a, to me, that was a good way to communicate the notions of sex and violence without coming out and saying it. You know, they're just like the neighbors that you live next door to. You have no idea what their private lives are like, or what they're into, or even if it's something as seemingly innocuous as watching reality television and taking delight in the worst aspects of human nature put on display. So there's this outward facade that we all have. We're like, oh, I'm very nice and very presentable. I'm the Stepford wife, or I'm Mr. Don Draper and very affable on the outside, but inside, oh, there's these dark things that I'll never show anybody that I love to revel in when no one is looking. And that could be presented in a very, complicated, long, boring, or pretentious way. And we opted for a bit of a more visual and quicker way to get to that point. And also something that doesn't beat you over the head with like, here, this is what I'm saying, because just as with music itself, with the visuals, it matters less what I mean and matters more what you take from it. It's right. One of the reasons why I don't, like when people ask what certain songs mean, a lot of times I don't really go into it, because when it leaves the studio, then what's more important, I mean, I certainly have my meanings behind things when I write them and when I create them and why I'm making them for myself. But what's more important than that, and what's more important than me, is what other people take from that and what it does for them.
No, and I think that's, you know, sometimes it's hard to me when I'm interviewing someone, like, okay, this song we have coming on, tell me about the song or what it means to you. And it's hard not to do that, because you kind of want to know what your mindset was, or when someone's mindset was, right, or, you know, when they recorded, or, you know, or when they produced it, or whatever the case might be, or when they wrote it initially. But sometimes, when you write something, you know, and you look at it, and even though, you know, you remember that time or how you felt at that time when you wrote it, and then you hear it or you read it, whether it be 3 months from now or even a couple years from now, the meaning may take on a different meaning for you personally, just because you've grown or evolved as a person. So you can look back at that time and go, okay, well, yeah, that is kind of how I felt about it. But now that this time has passed, or this is all these things have happened to me in this amount of time, that, you know, you look back on it and it has a different meaning for you, I think, a lot of times.
Oh, absolutely. And I would say that if you have exactly the same outlook on everything, 10 years down the line, then you're doing it wrong. You're doing life wrong, because that's the whole point, is you're constantly changing. And if you're doing things for a cathartic purpose that art and music and film and literature and things like that can be, then certainly the goal of that is to get it out and to grow, and hopefully do that for other people.
Yeah, and I think that's a good way to approach not just music and art, but I think a lot of different things in life. But I wanted to ask you about the name Blue Stahli. Now, and I'm sure you probably get asked this quite a bit, do you remember names you didn't select?
You know, somewhere there's a piece of paper with just like a ripped up notebook piece of paper. I may still have this. I should dig this out and see if I still have it. With all of the potential side names, because the original The original name for the project was Blue Stolly Shiver, but that's a freaking mouthful and no one could remember it. So I thought, okay, let me see if I can just come up with something else that's more effective. The only one that I remember right off the bat that was a potential was one that turned into a song title that was Corner. Hmm. And I'm like, well, that's no... Now I've gone from something no one can pronounce to something no one will ever remember because it's the most boring thing that anyone has ever thought of, and I should go drive out into the middle of the wilderness and never come back. We're coming up with such a terrible idea. But then luckily...
Well, you didn't select it, though, as the name, so you saved yourself.
That's true. And then when it came, when that song started coming together, I'm like, I will use this just to make up for the fact that I was about to call a project this. So it's here, that's a great song title. Not a good band name, terrible band name, but a great song title.
Right. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you sharing that as far as I'm always interested in, cause it's a big deal, and we've had other guests on where they're like, we just picked something and that's what it was. And then other people were like, oh yeah, we had awful names like Sons of Gargamel and Naked Pictures of Chewbacca or whatever they come up with, and, I'm like, oh yeah, that's probably good that you didn't go with that one. I like what you said on. Now, obviously, your music career's pretty interesting with a lot of different movies and TV and stuff. I want to get into that in just a moment, but talk to me about what kind of got you started in music, and do you remember your very, very first concert?
The very first concert that I attended, or the very first concert that I played?
Very first concert you attended.
Ooh. What was the first concert I attended? I think, oh man, this is so bad. I think that the very first concert that I attended, I was not into double digits for ages. I would have been like, I think 9 or something. And my mom took me to see, my mom took me to see the band Petra with the opening act Newsboys. I think that's correct.
Oh wow! Okay,
because that's what was played in the house, and she said, "Oh well, they're coming, and you're 9, so this is perfect." I believe that was the very first concert. Holy crap! That feels like a repressed memory that just came out.
Well, we're also therapeutic here on the show.
Beautiful.
Now, obviously, musical influences, hearing your music, obviously, I imagine it's pretty interesting mix of music. Is there stuff that you remember, through your teenage years that maybe your parents played or maybe people introduced you to that kind of helped you develop or kind of give you an idea what you wanted to sound like in music?
Yeah, I was never... I was never really into the bands that were just straight guitar, bass, and drums. And for those of you listening who are like, what is this guy's deal with the coughing? I apologize for that. That's the fun parts of having asthma when you spend a lot of time playing smoky clubs and you get that secondhand smoke when you've never smoked in your life. And now you get the joy of asthma. So sorry, wish I could do something about it. Can't. You'll have to live with it just like I do. But as far as things that I grew up listening to, if there's a thing just like a straight rock and roll band, I could get into a couple songs, but usually throughout an entire album, I'm like, okay, I'm bored now. I need more, production and more, just interesting things going on. So I was always gravitated more towards electronic music or bands that were mixing the electronic and the organic, trip hop things like Massive Attack and Sneaker Pimps and stuff like that, where you're getting a very earthy, organic, vinyl driven sound, but also with, run through samplers and synthesizers and modulation and things like that, but still something that had a genuine soul to it. And probably the thing that was the genesis for me, not not the scores, although the scores were great, and I certainly spend a lot of time listening to those, but the movie soundtracks, where they would have a bunch of different bands with a bunch of different styles, but everything felt cohesive because it was all a part of this movie. So on one movie soundtrack with, you know, 10 or 12 bands, everything would have roughly the same feel, but you'd get everything from hip-hop to heavy rock to purely electronic stuff like trance or breakbeat things, maybe some world music thrown in there, but it's all living on the same album. And I would drive around and listen to things like that for hours on end and think, well, why does this have to be a movie soundtrack? Why can't this be one artist doing all of this? Like, why do you just have to be a rock band, or why do you just have to be a techno group? Why can't you do all of this stuff? So that's really what led to doing things in the way that I do, and why I genre hop so much, instead of just saying like, oh, Blue Stanley is this.
Right. Now, you mentioned obviously, you know, music, the, you know, being obviously in movies, and obviously you've had music featured in movies and also TV as well. I think most recently, you have a track that's going to be part of the Amazing Spider-Man 2. Is that correct?
Yes, in the theaters right now, there's a trailer for the Amazing Spider-Man 2. I think it's the official trailer 3. But yeah, that's in theaters right now. I've heard that trailer plays before. Before the Lego movie, because I've had many people going to that and then texting me and saying, holy crap, I just heard your song in this thing. My song Bulletproof from Anti-Sleep Volume 1, which all of the Anti-Sleep albums are things that are made for film and TV, and they're more instrumental and wildly flailing with the genres rather than the focused, you know, more rock and electronic stuff that I typically do. So it's one of the more upbeat cuts from that record that was made way back in 2008 while Spidey is slinging around and cracking wise. I can't believe I just used that phrase.
Now, are you a fan of the Marvel superhero movies at all?
Oh, absolutely. As a kid, I had collected comics and everything and then fell out of it for a bit. But I was always hugely into the superhero movies. Pretty much any movie that's big and over the top and things that are made to be just fun and exciting and action packed, I love the hell out of those. And that's not to say that I exclusively like that to the detriment of anything with intelligence and heart, because I love those. I have just as much fun watching a David Lynch movie, or a slow burn Tarkovsky film than I do watching like Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. You know, I think there's a place for everything, just like there's a place for every musical genre. And if you can't go to a movie like that and have fun, then your life is terrible.
I feel the same way about the Marvel movies, especially, you know, the Iron Man, Thor, the Spider-Man, Captain America. I mean, you know, the X-Men films, the list goes on there. If you had a superpower, what would your superpower be?
Ooh, that is a tough one, because there's so many awesome superpowers out there. And I don't want to do the typical guy thing and say like invisibility, because then it could, you know, broad. But that's not a superpower. That's perversion. So, you know, I was.
There's some
I
guy was, in his mom's basement right now, like, oh man.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, like I was working on a serum for that. Thanks, guy. Now I feel like a creep. it's something I hadn't given that much thought to, because it's. I have the body of a 12-year-old Asian girl. There's no way someone's going to confuse me for Captain America. So, really, if I could have a superpower, it'd really just to be building onto what I already do, and say, okay, let's apply this in a creative light, because I do everything that you hear in Bruce Jolly. So if there's a way that I could do that faster and more effectively and write better songs, then that would absolutely be my superpower. If there was a Marvel movie that was Iron Man, but he's on stage throwing a guitar around and jumping around like a howler monkey, then that would be it. Just to like take all the musical skills and all the performance skills and ramp that up to 11.
Very, very cool. Well, I'll tell you what, man, let's take a break here. I want to get back and talk about, you're in the studio right now recording new material for The Devil. Now, we're releasing this in chapters, and we'll talk about this in a moment, but this is one of the tracks off Chapter 1, which is In Flames. I think the track speaks for itself. I think it's a great track, and I really dig it. I think people are going to dig it, too, if they haven't heard it yet. Let's tell you what, let's take a break. We'll jam this track, and we'll come back and chat some more. Is that cool with you?
Beautiful.
Awesome. This is Blue Stolly In Flames here on Revelator.
Where the pity and the
In Flames here on Revelator. That is Blue Stolle, who is still hanging with me on the show. Again, thanks a lot, man. I'm having a good time. Hopefully you are as well.
Absolutely.
The song In Flames, a good track. We're also going to hear another one, The Fall, which is also off The Devil Chapter 1. Now, you're in the studio right now working on the rest of this album, which you're releasing in chapters. What is that process like for you, and how did this concept come about? Was it something that, you know, I want to do something a little bit different. Let's release a little bit at a time and kind of gauge the interest of the fans. Is that kind of the idea behind it, or...?
Yeah, when I did the debut album, I released save for the last four songs, I released each song as a single as it was finished, because this is we're in the internet age, and even kind of a post internet age where everyone is on their mobile device, everything right. is driven by Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and social media, and everything is consuming information very quickly, you know, all right now. So no one really has the patience for, like, hey guys, I'm going to go make this thing for you, but it's going to be like at least a year, and you will hear zero of this, and you'll hear zero from me until that time. Most people's right. interest is going to wane, and there's definitely those of us who are from the old school and understand that process. Like, yeah, no, however long it takes is how long it takes, and I'll hear it when it's done. But that attitude is becoming few and far between, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's just the evolution of how media is consumed. So And just me personally, I'd much rather maintain a constant contact with fans and with people who are supporting Blue Stolle. And I love the idea that this is a way to cater to both sensibilities and not favor one over the other, and not say, well, this thing is wrong, so I'm never doing this again, or this thing is right, and I will always do this. To me, this is a way to do the best of both worlds. The singles evolved into doing chapters. Clayton McFeldweller, who signed me to his label and is producing the album, did the chapter release thing for his last album, Wish Upon a Black Star. And really, it's the same thing as releasing a single or releasing an EP. It's just that a chapter will always be two songs off the record, as well as possibly instrumentals or extra little B-sides and things like that. You know, weird little cast-off tracks. I'm like, oh, I don't quite know what to do with this. This is not for the album, but this would be awesome as an extra thing going on the chapter saying, hey, man, thanks for following along. So really the people who want to wait for this is how it caters to both sectors of that. The people who don't want to have it ruined for them, and they want to have, you know, if they do consider hearing things early ruining, if they don't want to have the album experience tainted by hearing something early, and they want to, like, no, I want to wait and get this thing and, you know, drive for an hour in my car and listen to it front to back and experience it that way, or sit alone in a dark room with headphones on, like I used to do all the time and still do to this day. Those people absolutely can do that. If you want to wait for the album, you can do so. Don't listen to the chapter things that come out. Just hang tight and pretend that didn't come out, or acknowledge that it did and say, that's cool, but I'm waiting and I'm sticking to my guns. For the people who don't want to do that and want to hear things as soon as they're available, then the chapters go out as soon as I finish the songs. So as soon as these things are mixed and mastered and artwork is ready, then they are thrown into the world to say, here, brand spanking new stuff. So there's a constant stream, since I'm always writing new stuff and always working on new things, there will always be a constant stream of music. So it's not just, hey, this band put out an album and now there's nothing. And now they put out another album 4 years later and now there's nothing. This way, it's, hey, Blue Sally has a new thing. And then maybe 2 months later, hey, Blue Sally has a new thing. And then a few months later, or a few weeks later even, hey, Blue Sally has another new thing, and this time it's a free download. So there's always going to be a steady stream of music and videos and, you know, extra little free goodies or covers and things like that always coming to people. And I love the engagement that I get to have with people over that as well. Because then it's people not getting the full stream of the album. So they're like, oh, how is this gonna fit in? It's like a cool puzzle.
Well, I dig that. Now I have to ask, now obviously chapter one is out. I guess kind of a two-part question here for you. One, when is chapter two released? Did you have a release date in mind for those listening who are interested on hearing the next chapter? And also, do you have a set on how many chapters will possibly be released under the Devil title?
It's still unknown exactly how many tracks are going to be on the album. There will be at least 10 tracks on the album, but I may go well over that. I know for a fact I'm going to go over that, because I'm going to have an intro track and an outro track and some things that will be, you know, that will be kept to album only, which you can still go purchase as a single track to complete your collection if you like. That's the other thing that I should have mentioned with the chapters thing, something that people may misunderstand. The people who purchased the chapters from the Fixed store, which is the official storefront for Blue Sally, it's all over the place. It's on Amazon, it's on iTunes, it's all in the normal places. If you purchase the chapters from the Fixed store, then we're not going to make you buy the songs twice. That's like your, however many chapters you buy, that percentage is then taken off the album as a whole, because like, well, no, you already got these songs and you supported this early on, so here's a big massive stinking discount for you to complete your collection. So just to throw that out there, so people don't think like, oh, this guy's just trying to charge people twice for the same content. No, that is not happening, and that will not happen. And then I just completely derailed my train of thought, like an Amtrak throwing people left and right and making families sad. But what was I just saying? I'm sorry. What was the last question? Because I just threw myself off.
No, that's fine. How many different potential release date, and also how many chapters? I think you said 10, and maybe more.
Oh yes, yes. So there will be more than 10 tracks. Although 10 is a good album number to shoot for. I believe that's what the debut album was. As far as the chapters, that'll be dependent on how many total songs there will be on the album. So I can say that there will be at least 3 chapters full of stuff, potentially 4, but 3 is a good number to shoot for. As far as a release date for chapter 2, that actually moved a couple times, because these 2 songs were in progress for quite a bit as I tried absolutely everything that did not work in order to find things that did. And I'm finally at the spot where I see the light at the end of the tunnel and will be prepping both songs for mix today. And I can't really give a hard and fast date for this is absolutely when this will come out, because I pretty much have a habit of, I only open my mouth to change feet. So I'd hate to say, okay, everyone, mark this down on your calendars, get ready, and then nothing happens, then say, ooh, sorry, it'll be 2 more weeks. So I'm in the next 2 months or so, you should have chapter 2.
Awesome. Well, that website, by the way, for everyone who's interested, is fixtstore.com, and lots of cool stuff on there, too. You got shirts, the merchandise, the whole deal, so definitely you can go there and check it out. Now, you did mention something about covers. I want to go take a step back on. Have you thought about what covers you may do should you go that direction?
Well, I'm the sort of guy where whenever I'm driving around listening to something, whether it's a song that's absolutely ridiculous or something that I love or something that I love that's absolutely ridiculous because I have weird taste, I'm the sort of guy where everything I'm listening to, I'm like, ooh, I want to do a cover of that. Ooh, I want to do a cover of that. Ooh, I should cover this as well. Hey, I should probably find some time to sleep in the middle of all this because I don't do that enough. I've put up, usually when I put up a cover, I will make that a free download for people because it's a fun thing for me and hopefully a fun thing for fans. I recently did a cover of, The Ghost of Love by David Lynch, whose movies I love and the song is amazing. So I'm like, I want to do the Blue Sally take on this. So of course it was all dusty vinyl trip hop with creepy 1950s guitars and lo-fi everything. It was just a blast to do, and I gave that out as a free download. Part of a Valentine's Day thing, but also I love doing the free download stuff just to make just as a way to thank people for following along and following Blue Stally, supporting Blue Stally, and saying, hey, you're like, thanks for joining me on this weird ride and for liking Blue Stally, because you don't have to, and I'm a ridiculous little kind of person. So thank you. Here is free stuff. Here's a free song. As far as stuff that's on the horizon for covers, it's weird what will pop into my head. Like I'd like to do like a 1950s ballad, but make it all creepy. And any number of 80s things, maybe thrown through the acoustic stylings would be amazing. I'd love to do like a little down tempo cover of a Depeche Mode track.
Oh, okay. All right. I dig that. Well, Blue Stally, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, and man, best of luck to you, man. Hey, when you get, if you want to come back on, you're always welcome. It's been really fun talking with you. We actually have another track that we're going to play on the broadcast, which is called The Fall. And I said I always hate asking musicians this, but is there any setup or anything you want to mention about the song before we play it?
Actually, yeah. For those of you who are about to hear this song for the first time, those of you driving along or at home or putting on your space Viking costume, I don't judge, whatever you want to do, wherever you happen to be, whatever you're doing, turn your device or your stereo, whatever you're listening through, turn that up as loud as it will possibly go. Begin driving fast, begin running fast, but not in a way that can get me sued later. And get ready to enjoy this thing. This is how this should be taken in. Hugely loud, and imagine yourself in your favorite movie.
Awesome. Well, Blue Stally, it's a pleasure to have you on the broadcast, and come back anytime, man.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. This was an absolute blast to do, and I'm glad we could connect and do this.
Awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, we close out. It's Blue Stally here on Red Later. It is The Fall.
cage of the tangible. All you had to own, you poor social cannibal. What's left when
Fall here on Revelator. That is Blue Stolle, and he wasn't kidding, man. If you're not jamming that song as loud as you possibly can, your headphones are on your speakers, man, you might want to just rewind this episode and play that thing again, or head on over to his website and buy that track. It's awesome. But hey, the Oscars were just this past week, the 86th Academy Awards. And then we're not going to go through every single category, obviously, but let's go through some of the bigger ones. Best directing went to Gravity. Best costume design went to The Great Gatsby. Best cinematography also went to Gravity. Best animated feature, I don't think this is a surprise to anybody here, and that is Frozen. Also, best actress in a supporting role is Lupita Nyong'o. I'm going to do Tron Travolta, that one. Best actor in a supporting role, Jared Leto. You know, a lot of people were dissing Jared Leto for winning. I guess a lot of people were upset with it. I really don't know why. The guy's a singer for 30 Seconds to Mars. He's really put in a lot of work, and he's really a great actor. He really is. Golden Globe and Oscar, kudos to him, man. Well done in Dallas Buyers Club. Best actress in a leading role, Cate Blanchett for Blue Jasmine. Best actor in a leading role, Matthew McConaughey, Dallas Buyers Club. Again, Matthew McConaughey, man, a lot of people say, I don't really like him, man. That guy's been in a lot of films, a really, really great actor. Leonardo DiCaprio is still looking for that elusive Oscar. And best picture goes 12 Years Slave, and the speech there at the end, absolutely phenomenal, really touching. I haven't had a chance to see the film, but, man, after seeing that guy talk about that film and what it meant to him, man, I really need to make it a point to try to see that film. And with that being said, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this past weekend. Number 10, Ride Along at $3 million. About Last Night, $3.3 million. The movie Frozen still in the top 10 at 15 weeks, $3.6 million, making over $388 million in that 15 weeks. Pompeii, $4.3 million. RoboCop, $4.5 million. The Monuments Men, $4.9 million. 3 Days to Kill, $4.9 million. The Lego Movie, in 4 weeks, the box office has made $209 million this past weekend, $20.8 million. Son of God, $25.6 million. And number one movie at the box office, Leland Neeson, with Nonstop opening up at $28 million. And for more information about this particular episode and also our guest, Blue Stolle, head on over to omnes.tv. Again, that's omnes.tv. And also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/omnes.tv. Again, that's omnes.tv. And you can also find me on Twitter, Ryan_unsigned. And keep in mind, next week, 50th show. Tell everyone you know about it. It's, you know, we really appreciate it. You know, spread the word, and a lot of great guests, man. Like I said, Mike DeWolf from Taproot, Rob the singer from Mindset Evolution, David Martinez, Alex Ryder, and you know, let people know, man. We're making a run at this, and hopefully you guys have really enjoyed what we're doing. We're going to keep on doing it, and it's been 50 shows. And for those of you who listen all the time, you know that you know, we appreciate you. And hey, it seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.
This was episode 49, Blue Stolly, Sunny Side Up. For show notes or links to topics discussed on this episode of Rebel Letter, or to experience previous episodes, head on over to omnes.tv, that's O-M-N-E-S.tv, and click on Rebel Letter. Thanks for listening.